Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Lord. Praise
Hallelujah.
The name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God. Y'all be seated for a minute. We'll get back up here and make some more joyful noise here. Because I can't sing, but I can make noise. Amen. I want to welcome those that haven't been here before. And warn you, if you come looking for a good preacher, go home and go to bed. You ain't going to find one here. Not going to find one. You're just going to find an old flat-footed boy with big glasses and false teeth standing up here telling you about Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to break a few rules. I'm going to do some stuff that the Bible preacher school tells you not to do. I'm going to tell you something right off the bat right here. I'm a sinner. Now, they tell you in Bible school not to do that, not to tell people that. But I am a sinner. I'm a sinner just like anybody else out here. And you know, it dawned on me one time that until I recognized that and realized that, God would not and could not move through me. Couldn't do it. Because as long as I thought I was perfect and as long as I thought I was righteous in myself and in what I did, God would just have to stand back. He could not move. Why? Because He's powerless? No. Because He is righteous and He is holy. And there are going to be a number of things that we're going to talk about through this revival. And one of the most important things that I hope to remember to tell you in every single meeting is the key to walking in God's power is this. Take God serious.
Amen.
Don't take yourself serious.
Amen.
Believe His Word.
Amen.
If you get a handle on those three things, there's nothing you can't do. Sickness can't be near you. It'll flee. Demonic spirits run in terror. Oppression lifts and goes. Darkness cannot be around. Sin of the world can't reach you. We're going to talk about Joshua. We're going to talk about the children of Israel. We're going to talk about Jesus. And we're going to find out what it all has to do. You know, folks, the gospel has never changed. We're going to find out that the gospel today was the same gospel that God gave Adam. God told Adam, don't eat of the tree of knowledge between good and evil, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt most assuredly die. But the tree of life was there, and he could eat of it freely. The tree of life was Jesus. The tree of life is the gospel. The tree of knowledge between good and evil is the law. The law will kill you. It was not brought to give you life. It was brought to bring death. Sin was in the world from Adam until Moses. But without the law, sin could kill, but it was not known as sin. As Paul said, except the law said, thou shalt not covet. Huh? I had not had lust. But when the law came, sin revived and I died. All right? So we are born into this world under sin. But through Jesus Christ, we are brought to life. And the Lord had me say a thing in church yesterday that I thought was neat. I got excited. Because, you see, I've preached this and preached it and seen stuff, but this is the first time I ever looked at it this way. We were talking about food. I like food. You can tell I like food. I enjoy a good steak. We had one, too, didn't we? We had to drive 50 miles or 30, 60 miles to find one, but we did find one, praise God. But as you can tell, I like to eat. I love to cook. But you know, I found out a thing, and we were talking about this yesterday, that when you eat a thing, something has to die. You don't go up to a cow in the pasture and start gnawing on its leg while it's grazing in the grass. It is not going to be happy with you. And if it's a bull, it might do some damage to you. Amen? And you get out there in Dan's neck of the woods out there in Texas where they got them longhorn steers, they might be working on you while you're trying to work on them. Huh? So before you eat that steer, you better kill it. Huh? Even if you're a vegetarian. Some people say, well, I don't eat meat. That's all right. That poor head of cabbage that you chewed on last night, that had to die before you could eat it. Huh? The minute you cut that cabbage off at the root, what? It dies. All right? As God has shown us everything in the natural to give us that which is in the spirit, what do we find out of that? If this body is to live, it has to eat something. And that something had to die for us to have life. Did not Jesus over in John chapter 6 said, lest ye eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, ye shall have no life?
Amen.
Huh? And the Jews got all upset and said, oh, we got to leave. We can't hear this. This is too hard. Huh? What was he trying to tell them? He had to die that we could live.
Amen.
But it's not this that lives. It's the new man that lives.
Amen.
Now, let me show you a thing. This is so neat. When God sent Moses into to Pharaoh in Egypt, he said, I want you to go tell that sucker. This is the revised version of Richard Usler, by the way. Go tell that sucker to let my people go. Huh? Now, Pharaoh is a type and shadow of Satan. Egypt was a type and shadow of the world. And he said, you go let my people go, for Israel is my firstborn son. Huh? Let me emphasize, firstborn son, not daughter. Son. Y'all hear that? All right. The firstborn son died in the desert, didn't he? He didn't get to go to the promised land. Moses didn't get to go to the promised land, did he? Moses had the gifts of God. He had the inheritance of God. He had all of the things of God for the people. But Moses did not get to give them to the people. Because he died on the other side of Jordan. The other Israel that was raised up, that second generation, was the second son. And that son went across to receive the inheritance under Joshua. Now, as Moses was a type and shadow of Jesus, Joshua was a type and shadow of the apostles. And as Joshua gave forth the inheritance to the children of Israel when they came across the River Jordan, the apostles in the New Testament gave forth the inheritance to the church,
Amen.
Which is the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Now, the church has lost its identity. This is going to be hard for some people. And if it's hard, don't get too mad at me. Don't get too mad at me. You can throw tomatoes, but don't throw rocks. They hurt. I was up in Vermont, and you know, I was preaching up there in Vermont, and these people came up to me, and they said, Brother Richard, I don't understand why the homosexuals are taking over the world. I said, I don't know why you don't understand that. Simple to understand. Nothing can be done in the natural unless it's first done in the spirit. Everything that happens here in the natural is the first established in the spirit. It doesn't go the other way around. It comes from the top down. Now, the church is the body of Christ. Amen? And Jesus is the head of the church, which is his body. But if a man loses his identity, what do we call him? A homosexual. If a man loses his identity and thinks he's a woman and begins to act like one and dress like one, and this is no offense to you ladies out here, this is just pure truth, we call him a homosexual. Well, what has happened to the church? The church has forgotten it's a man. It's forgotten it's the body of Christ. It's forgotten how to put on Christ. It's forgotten how to put on the armor of God. It's forgotten how to go forth in the power of God. It's forgotten how to take the power of the Holy Ghost and fight with it.
Amen.
And instead it trades the armor of God for a wedding gown. And it's sitting back saying, I'm a bride. I have my wife sitting here. God bless her. She drove all the way up from South Carolina to hear me. You'd think some people would know better. She comes all the way up here. And I think she came up here. One of the reasons is because I threatened to come in here one night in a wedding dress. And I think she's decided to make sure I don't do that. But I could just see it if I came in here one day all puffed up in a wedding dress and just come in here. Wouldn't I make a nice looking bride? Sashay.
You're so pretty.
I tell you what, they'd have somebody down here in little white coats and it wouldn't be him to take me out of here. Now, you know, this is funny, and it's not really funny, though. It's a very sad situation. Because God has always meant for the church to walk in His power.
Amen.
Jesus said, the thief comes but to kill, steal, and destroy, but I have come that you may have life and have that more abundantly. Where is life in the churches today? Where is the life? People come in sick, they go out sick. They come back in sick, they go back out sick. Day after day, year after year. What's up with this? Do you think that if Jesus walked through that church, that one person would be sick if they didn't want to be? Huh? Do you think that if you had a cancer, or if you had a blindness, or you had a bad hip, or a kidney problem, or a spleen problem, or any kind of problem at all, if Jesus were to walk into that church, do you think if you said to Him, Lord, would Thou touch me, do you think He would refuse?
No.
No. Well, why are the people in the churches today in the condition they're in? When they are the body of Christ. Sickness cannot dwell in the body.
Amen.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Sickness cannot dwell in Christ. Cannot happen. Now the old man died off in the desert because of unbelief. But the new man went forth in victory because he believed God.
Amen.
Now, I might step on some toes this week, if you can bear with me. And I might make some people unhappy. But I will tell you one thing. If you can hear what I say, and if you have a Bible and will read it and believe it, you will never, ever be the same.
Amen.
I told that to a man in South Carolina. I said, we're coming up to New Hampshire. We're going to do a tent revival. You want to come? You can come. But I'll guarantee you two things. One, a hard time. I will give you a hard time. I will not make it easy for you. Isn't that what I told him? And two, I told him, you will never, ever be the same. And he worried for 2 weeks, didn't he? He sweated for 2 weeks, didn't he, Ann? Oh, he sweated and he worried. He didn't know what to do. But he decided to come. And the first day on the road, see, he got up. And his world was not perfect. Did you know there are three kingdoms? The kingdom of God, where God is sovereign, and His servants are His bondslaves. The kingdom of the world, in which Satan is sovereign, and all of those in the world are servant to him. And the kingdom of, I'll pick on Steve, the kingdom of Steve, in which Steve thinks he's sovereign, but in reality, he's stupid. Huh? Because if you think you're sovereign, you really belong to the kingdom of Satan, and you're just too stupid to know it. So what does that mean? There's really only two kingdoms. And you are in one or the other. It's automatic. You notice in John chapter 3, Jesus said, I have not come to condemn the world. He didn't come to condemn the world. Why?
Condemned already.
Because it was already condemned. You go to visit a man on death row in prison, you don't come there to condemn him. You just say, sorry to be you. Huh? You don't go to a man on death row and say, guess what, guy? You're in death row. You're going to die. He already knows that. This guy already knows that he's condemned. He's going to die. Now, when you're young, you don't realize that. You think you're going to live forever. Man, I remember when I was a kid, I thought, gee, if I live to be old enough to see the year 2000, won't that be neat? Man, I'll be ancient. I can remember thinking that kind of stupid stuff.
Same here.
Now, do you really think anybody going to believe that?
It's true. I thought I just saw that.
You thought 30 was old, didn't you?
Yeah, it's going to be.
But you know what? Now, we've got some more intelligent people out here because they've been around a while. I'm not looking at you, Dan. And, you know, like Al Johnson over here. Now, do you feel in here your age? In here? I don't mean here. No, you still feel like you did when you're 16, 17, 18 years old, don't you? Do you ever look in the mirror and surprise yourself? You walk around and you say, you see this slim, trim, good-looking guy with all this nice long hair. Then you go in the mirror. I used to wear a mustache. I quit doing it because every time I looked in the mirror, I saw Wilford Brimley. And I said, who's that? And I quit wearing a mustache because people, when I had a long mustache and I weighed another 20 pounds or more, 30 pounds, 40, I won't go there. Anyway, I weighed a little bit more. I was a little bigger. People come up to me and ask me for my autograph. It was a hoot. Praise God. But you see, that young man back way back thought the year 2000 was never going to happen. But you guys have been around a while. And you realize that inside, you've never aged. You're still young in your soul, in your spirit. It's just the body that ages. Why? It proves something. It proves that the body is under the curse, not the mind. But the mind can choose to be under the curse or to be under the blessing. With the mind, your soul, your intellect, your will, you can choose to believe God or not to believe God. And if you choose to believe God, then according to the gospel of Jesus Christ, you can be reborn into Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And there you live in Him until the redemption of the purchased possession.
Amen.
And in Him, you have power, authority, and victory. But you have to be under authority to have authority. The centurion saw Jesus and said, when he said to Jesus, he said, you don't have to come to my house. I'm a man under authority even as you. And I say to this servant to go, and he goes, and this one to come, and he comes. So I know all you got to do is say the word, and it's going to happen. And Jesus looked around and he said, I haven't seen such faith in all of Israel. Here was a Gentile that had more faith than the Jews did. The God of the Jews was standing right there, and it was a Gentile that had faith in him. Huh? Did you realize, do you remember that scripture back there where Jesus said that where whom the Son sets free is free indeed? And these Jews standing around, we'd be under bondage to no man. We'd be free. If I'd been there, I'd say, excuse me, sir. What's that funny looking guy with the Roman soldier's uniform on, the big sword and the shield doing there? What is he? Do you know, you go in America today and you say to somebody, whom the Son sets free is free indeed, and you know what they'll say? I'm a free man. Really? Since when were you free? What makes you think you're free? Huh? You want to go fishing? Do you have to buy a license? Huh? If you have to buy a license, you're not free. Do you want to build a house? Do you have to buy a license, get a permit? Then you're not free. Do you pay tax on your land? Then you're not free. Huh?
Amen.
So let's first of all get it through our heads. There's nobody free in this land. But you can choose who you serve.
Amen.
You can serve the world and die with the world. Or you can serve Jesus Christ and live eternal.
Amen.
Now, the first man didn't believe God and died in the desert. The second man believed God and went on a cross. Amen. And had victory. Now, I'm going to say one other thing. We're going to sing a song. But I want to say one other thing real quick. In Mark 16, because we're going to deal with this a little bit. I like to deal with this because it's one of the most controversial verses in the Bible. Jesus Christ speaking, verse 15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that disbelieveth shall be damned. Now, most Christians don't have a problem with that part. There are some that do. But most don't. Go into the whole world. Now, let me show you how I read that. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. My interpretation is simple. Preach the gospel. What's the gospel? Jesus Christ crucified. And everything to do with it. To every creature. What does that mean? Some people say, well, it means mankind. Well, I take it literally. If it says creature, I preach to dogs, cats, butterflies, pigs. Good practice when you're preaching to people. Because some people act like dogs. Some act like cats. Huh?
Amen.
Some people act like pigs. Some act like goats. But I practice. When I'm preaching to animals, I practice. And you know what? I find out most of the time animals know more about what I'm talking about when I talk about Jesus Christ than people do.
Mm.
All right, secondly, preach the gospel to every creature. They that believe and are baptized shall be saved. Now, let's look at something over in 2 Timothy or 1 Timothy. We read it yesterday. Chapter 4. Thus the Spirit speaketh expressly in latter times, some shall depart from the faith, taking heed of seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now you say in the church today, have you had any of this? Oh no, we haven't done. Then why do you baptize children? What are seducing spirits? Seducing spirits are demonic spirits that seduce you through the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, or pride of life. Ministers today are running out to get PhDs in psychology, psychiatry, theology, divinity, and any other thing they can come up with. And yet they can't get rid of a simple headache. What's wrong with this picture? It's the pride of life. I'm Dr. So-and-so. Well, go get a job then. I had a doctor say to me, I'm a doctor. I practice medicine. And I said, I'm a preacher. I don't have to practice. I know what I'm doing. Why don't you get where you can know what you're doing? You ever stop to think about that? Lawyers practice law. Doctors practice medicine. But if you can be a child of God who knows the Word of God, you don't have to practice anything. You can walk in authority. You can walk in knowledge. You can walk in understanding. Dan comes from Texas. Raised in the Church of Christ. I told him some of the things about the power of God. He thought I was crazy. Am I right or wrong? Directly against his theology. So I said, you come with me. And if you don't change your mind, I'll give you the money. You go anywhere you want. Didn't I say that? Did you come? Am I crazy? He probably hesitated for a second because he wanted to say, yeah, I still think you're crazy, but no, you were right. According to the world, I am crazy. According to the world, I'm crazy. I'm crazier than Bill. You know? Because I believe God. I believe whatever God says. But you know, it says in this word, he that believeth the gospel and is baptized shall be saved. Now, you know, like I said, most Christians don't have a problem with that, but let's carry it a little further. And I said this a couple weeks ago, and a woman got up, never got to hear the last of it. She got up before the service was over and split because she got so mad at me she couldn't see straight. She was so mad. And it was a shame because if she stuck around a minute, she'd have understood what I was saying. So if you get mad at me, just stick around for a minute. The next part says, these signs shall follow them that believe. Now, how do you know if a computer works? You turn it on. If it comes on and plays a little music and the picture comes up and the screen's there and it works, then you know it works. Huh? All right, how do you know if a Christian is a Christian? How do you know if a Christian is a believer of the gospel? These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak in other tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. They'll lay hands on the sick who shall recover. So you got to come to the point. Is Jesus alive?
No.
These theologians out here will tell you, well, that's not for today. Show me in the book where it's not for today. Jesus has said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Now, here's the statement that made that lady so mad. The statement was, if you don't have these signs following you, then you're not a believer. You may be a Christian. She didn't hear that part. She took off first. You can be a Christian hoping. Huh? You can be a Christian trying to believe. You can be a Christian believing in Jesus. But a believer of the gospel believes Jesus. That's the difference. Over in John chapter 12, Jesus said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he will do also. Yea, far greater works than these shall he do because I go unto the Father. Now, I at one time had a problem with that. I said, Lord, how can someone do greater works than you? And he said, go over and look at the book of Acts. It's all through there. And I remember watching, reading about Jesus praying for the sick. And you know, he would lay hands on people. Or he would say a word, or both. But you know, I go over to the book of Acts, Paul could just walk them through, and whoever his shadow touched, they were healed. He didn't have to say a word. I go over and look at Paul where he could take a piece of cloth and touch it to his body, and wherever that cloth went, people were healed and demons cast out. Do you understand? There's not a person in this tent that shouldn't be able to do the same thing. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you should be able to do the same thing. Why can't you? It's not. Now watch this. It's not because God doesn't love you. It's not because God doesn't want you to. He does love you. He does want you to.
Amen.
God wants you to walk in His power and have His fellowship with His Spirit so bad that He gave Jesus Himself for you.
Amen.
There's no greater love.
Amen.
Than the love that God showed for us when He let His Son Jesus die on that cross.
Amen.
So that you and I could be a part of Him.
Amen.
Steve said earlier, I was listening to him trying to steal some of my sermon tonight. That's all right. Preach it. I don't care. It's not mine anyway. I heard of some of you that nobody in this tent had any more faith or less faith than we do. And that's the truth. You got the same amount of faith I've got. I've seen the dead raised. I've seen God put eyeballs in people who didn't have any. I've walked into hospitals with people in a coma and never opened my mouth. Never said a word. And the power of God reached down and bring them right up out of that bed and heal them. I've seen God move without me ever laying a hand on anybody or speaking directly to anybody. I'd just be singing and God would deliver somebody. Up in Berlin, He was delivered a man that was a heroin addict, was on 30 bags of heroin a day. Delivered him off of that heroin.
Amen.
Restored his physical health.
Amen.
Restored his physical health. And he went through no withdrawal. That's the power of God. Is
Amen.
That the power of Richard? Absolutely not. If I took myself serious, I couldn't do it.
Amen.
See? Why do you think, why you sit around and I know the thoughts of people. Why? Because I thought of myself.
Gee, Lord, I sure would like to be able to preach, but I don't know enough. I sure would like to be able to be a witness for You, Lord, but I'm not good enough. Lord, I sure would like to pray for that person, but I know I can't do it. I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy.
One day, God just got sick and tired of hearing it. He said, you're right. You're none of those things. So shut up and do it anyway. I am.
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying here? I drink coffee. I've had people tell me I was going to hell because I ate chocolate cake. Who cares?
Amen. Amen.
Had a preacher down in Orlando, big preacher. One of the fastest growing churches down there at the time. He was known worldwide. Lord sent me to his church. His name was Roy Hawthorne. I tell names. His name was Roy Hawthorne. And I walked there and I said, Brother Roy, the Lord sent me to tell you something. And he said, what's that? I said, you ain't right too tight. You're thinking too much of yourself. You're running around here preaching this holiness stuff as if you are capable of being holy. Get off of it. Get on to Jesus. Get off this other stuff. God's going to show you in a way you can understand if you don't. He went to Germany. He sat down with a bunch of Pentecostals in Germany. About 300 of them. From all over Europe. And he was amazed. Because they all had steins of beer in front of them. And he didn't know what to say. So he ordered a cup of coffee. And one of the brothers said, you're not going to drink that devil's brew, are you? Don't you know it's a sin to drink coffee and you can go to hell? As he picked up his mug of beer and drank it. And you think he got it right because, see, he said, my God, I realized over here it was coffee that was the sin, not the beer. In America, it's the beer and not the coffee. Well, unless you're in some churches. Then it's everything. I mean, you can go to hell for the way you wear your hair. See, I won't let my wife cut her hair because I don't want her to go to hell. Isn't that stupid? Isn't that stupid? If she wanted to cut her hair, it's all right with me. I don't care. Hair ain't going to go to heaven. The body ain't going to heaven either. This body ain't going to heaven. I got a brand new body waiting for me.
Amen.
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 It doesn't matter, ladies, if you have your hair long or hair short. It doesn't matter. I have Dan walk around outside the tent when it's bright, smoking a cigarette just to run the Pharisees off. They come up there and say, "Oh, my goodness, that guy's smoking a cigarette. There can't be no good thing in there." That's right. Go on. Bye-bye. Take your old Pharisee self home. And when you go to bed at night and you put those blankets over your head, tell me you dream nothing but perfect thoughts. Tell me you never have thoughts of hate. Tell me you never have thoughts of envy. Tell me you never have bad thoughts whatsoever. I told a preacher one time, told me he was without sin. I said, "Really?" I said, "Give me your wife for 5 minutes. I'll prove you're a sinner." Amen, Brother Usher.
Amen.
Ask my wife. Am I perfect? No, she ain't going to lie for me. I'm not perfect, but Jesus is.
Amen.
Jesus is. And you know what? You don't have to be perfect either, because you can't be. It is impossible for you to be perfect. But you can learn to believe. As you see, I'm going to tell you the secret to believing. I'm going to tell you the secret. The secret is to simply decide to do it. That's all there is. To believe God is a decision. It's not an emotion. Now, I'll probably repeat myself a few times, and that's all right. You know, old senile people do that sometimes. But everybody remembers John Kennedy's airplane crash. Y'all remember hearing about that? Do you know why he crashed? Anybody know why he crashed? I was telling... Huh? That's right. He couldn't read instruments. And you know, right after the plane crashed, that's what I was preaching, wasn't it? I was telling everybody John Kennedy crashed because he couldn't read the instruments. Just by the way the airplane went into the water and everything else, I knew. See, I know how to read instruments. He didn't know how. Do you know what? When you are following God by your feelings and by your emotions, you're like John Kennedy flying in a cloud, and you're going to crash. But if you learn to fly by instruments, by taking the Word of God and trusting it, even when your eyes tell you not to, even when your flesh tells you not to, even when your emotions tell you not to, when everybody in the world tells you not to, you learn to believe that and trust that, and you cannot crash. You cannot do it. Let me put it to you this way. Now, let me say this too. Sometimes I get excited. But a lot of times I just like to preach like I am right now. So if you kind of like preaching where the preacher yells and screams and jumps down and runs around and all like that, bear with me. I don't do a lot of that. But I will tell you some neat things in the meantime. And one of the things is, you see, is God showed me a thermometer one time. And he asked me, he said, "Richard, what's that?" And I said, "It's a thermometer." He said, "What does it do?" I said, "It tells the temperature." He said, "That's what you are." "What do you mean I'm a thermometer? I'm not a thermometer." Now, if John Squires was in here, we could call him a thermometer because he looks like one. Little old thin guy with a red face. But me, look at me, man. Yeah, this is a bad looking thermometer. "What do you mean, Lord, I look like a thermometer?" And he said, "You let your emotions rule you. When your wife is good to you, you love her. And when she doesn't do what you want, you don't like her anymore. Me? When your children are behaving, you think they're cool. When they're not behaving, they belong to their mother. Anybody relate to any of this?
Yep.
How can you relate to that? You don't have any children. Oh, you're the kid. Okay.
I'm the kid. It goes the same way upstream.
When your neighbor's good to you, don't you like him? And when he's calling the law on you on everything you can think of, how much do you love him then? I had a neighbor across the street from me. For 3 years, that guy lived. He lived to cause me aggravation. He would call, what do they call that, code enforcement? Every time somebody came to visit me, and they would park their camper in my yard, he would call code enforcement and say, there's a bunch of abandoned vehicles in this guy's yard. And he'd just do everything. And this old boy here, who you see, I used to be a bounty hunter. You see, you look at me, I'm just a sweet, lovable, little old gentle guy, you know. Just handsome, dashing, Dave Manier and all that kind of garbage. Champion of the underdog, right? Now, you've heard that one before. It was a lie, I'll tell you that right now. There was a time when I could be not a nice guy. And I thought of all kinds of things I wanted to do to this guy. Even pray for him. P-R-E-Y. And God dealt with me on it. And he said, Richard, you're to love that man. But I don't want him. Can anybody relate to this? I don't want to love him. He said, I don't care what you want. Love him anyway. So I began to work on it, and I realized that by making the decision to love him, I could love him. And I ended up loving this guy. And I witnessed to him, and I tried to help him, and the more I tried to help him, the more he tried to hurt me. But I determined I was going to love him anyway. And you know what happened? When I came up here, he was standing out in his yard glaring at me. Just glaring at me as we were leaving. And I went like this. The man today is dead. I did not realize I would never see that man again. And I was upset about it. I was upset because I was hoping and praying God, somehow that man had heard some of the gospel and got it right. And you know what the Lord showed me? And some of you may receive.